Jude chapter number 1. It's the only chapter in the book of Jude. Jude chapter number 1. It's only 25 verses long. I'm not going to read all 25, but we're going to read several of them. The book of Jude, the book of 3 John, I believe the book of Obadiah maybe. I believe it's the third one where there's only one chapter of those three books. But every word of God is important. And every word of God has some truth for us. In Sunday school, we're dealing with how to study the Bible. And next week, we're going to get into some more things on how to study the Bible. And I'm going to mention a few of those things this morning in preaching. But we'll go into them in more detail next week. Every word of God is written spiritually for you, but it's not written doctrinally to you. But there's spiritual application to every book of the Bible, every word of the Bible, but not every word is written doctrinally to you. The Bible tells us who it's written to. It tells us which books are written to who. And so all Scripture has three applications. It has a historical application. It's an event or a time that actually took place. These men actually wrote these letters. They actually wrote these epistles. And they wrote them to certain groups of people that physically lived during those times. And so they were relevant then because that's what they were going through. And then it has a doctrinal application which is applied to a later time. And it is applied to different time periods doctrinally. And then the third application of all Scripture is spiritual application. Most preaching that takes place is spiritual application. We can preach out of any book of the Bible and apply it spiritually to your life because this book is alive and the Holy Spirit of God can take the truths and He can apply them to you. And so we might preach out of passages that are not doctrinally written to you, but they're spiritual truths that can be applied to your heart and your life as a Christian. And that's all through the whole Bible. There's certain verses that we might preach from time to time that have nothing doctrinally to do with the church today, but they're spiritual truths that will help you as a Christian. And so this morning is one of those times because of the book that we're getting our thoughts from this morning on the message. The book of Jude was written by Jude. He was an apostle and a brother of James. And we find that in Luke chapter 6 and Acts chapter 1. He was one of the apostles. He is also mentioned by the surname of Thaddeus, and that's found in Matthew chapter 10 and Mark chapter number 3. And that's who's writing this book. It's one of the apostles that walked with Christ. He was the brother of James. And this book is doctrinally aimed at those that will be going through the tribulation. And you say, why are you going over all this? Because I want you to understand where we're at. And it'll affect the message later on here in just a few minutes. So the book of Jude is doctrinally aimed at those that will be going through the tribulation. It's dealing with a Hebrew Christian people. Look at a couple different signs that we see in this one chapter of the book of Jude. Look at verse number 18. Verse number 18. How that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. It's dealing with a time period that's the last time. It's dealing with a time that's just before the second advent of Christ. It's not dealing with a time before the rapture. In the rapture, Jesus does not come all the way down to the earth. We meet Him in the clouds. This is a time period that's just before His time of coming back to the earth. And we find that there in verse number 14. Verse 14, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of His saints. So this book is written in a time period, doctrinally speaking, to those during the tribulation time period, that's during the last time, just before the second advent of Christ. Let me show you a couple other contrasts here before we get into the message. Look at verse number 21. The Jude tells them there, keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Well, you say, well, how does that verse not doctrinally apply to us? Because my Bible tells me in the book of Romans, chapter 8, that nothing can separate me from the love of Christ. The Bible says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. In the book of Jude, they're told to keep themselves in the love of God. There's a contrast. Those are not the same thing. Amen. No matter how you want to make it the same thing, they're not the same thing. One tells them to keep yourself in the love. There's multiple places in the book of James, and I'm not going to preach all this morning. We're going to go over some of it in Sunday school, where they're told to hold on to the end. And I have verses where Paul wrote to us in the church, and it said that he's holding on to us to the end. They're different. They're not the same thing. And so in the tribulation time period, there's things that are different than they are now. And we'll go into more detail in Sunday school later on that. In verse number 24 in the book of Jude, it says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. It said that he's able to, but it doesn't say that he will. Amen? Dealing with these folks here in the book of Jude during the tribulation time period, there's things that they can do in order to mess up royally. Things they can do to lose what they have. They take the mark of the beast. If they don't help their fellow brother, if they don't help the Jew, all these things are things that they can do to fall. I can't fall. I cannot lose that. It does not say that he will keep them from falling, as some people teach. It said that he's able. But it tells them there, he's able to keep you from falling. But in the previous verse we just read that they're supposed to keep themselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of the Lord. My Bible tells me in 1 Corinthians 1:6 that we are confirmed in Christ. We're confirmed in Him. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 through 24 says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. If you're saved today in the church age, you're kept, and He will do it. And you're kept in the love of Christ, and nothing can separate it. You cannot fall out of it. You cannot separate from it if you're saved. Amen? You can't do that. But Jude is dealing with a different group of people, and it's dealing with a different time period and a different way of dealing with things. There's people that read the book of Jude and James and other passages that they're dealing with the tribulation time period, and they read verses that make it look like there's something you can do to lose your salvation, and they get all confused about what is and what's not. Amen? And that goes back to rightly dividing the Word. And again, if you weren't in Sunday school, we began to talk about some of these things, and we're going to get into more detail next week. But I just want to show you what time period we're dealing with. And I want to show you something here this morning. The book of Jude, I believe that God showed me that they're going to deal with in that time period that we're dealing with right now. That in every age, people have dealt with. All the way back in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve dealt with the subject that we're going to talk about this morning. And we find some things here in the book of Jude that I believe will help us spiritually speaking. Again, we find some spiritual truth here in these passages that are not written to us doctrinally, but they're spiritual truth here. And here is the truth, and we're going to look at several verses here. Here's the truth that we find in these passages, that there are going to be people that are going to influence others to either do right or do wrong. All the way back in the very beginning, we found two different individuals influencing Adam and Eve, one to do right and one to do wrong. God was there in the garden influencing them to do right. He always has influenced people to do right. God has never influenced anybody to sin, ever. But you had Satan in the garden influencing them to do wrong. And then we have Eve influencing her husband to sin. And it goes on and on and on throughout all Scripture where people have influenced other people. And I want to tell you this morning that influence is a very, very powerful thing. An influence. And so I want to look at that for a few minutes this morning. The title of the message is just Influencer. An influencer. Look with me here in the book of Jude. Let's read through a few verses here. Look at verse number 14. Well, no, I'm sorry. Let's go back to verse number 4. Notice the different individuals throughout the book of Jude. Verse number 4, the Bible says, "For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." They were denying that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. They were influencing people in that direction. Look at verse number 7. "Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities." Look at verse number 10. "But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam, for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor." Look with me in verse number 15. Verse number 15. Bible says here, "To execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed." You think there's something that God's trying to tell us there about these ungodly people? "And of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him." Why do they do all these things? In the first part of verse 15, to convince. To try to convince somebody. Verse number 16. "There are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words." Why do they speak these great swelling words? "Having men's persons in admiration because of advantage." Look at verse number 18. "How that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own." Again, we find the word ungodly lusts. "These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit." So we find all these individuals here in this very short 25 verses of the book of Jude dealing with a bunch of individuals who are trying to influence God's people. Who are trying to influence them for maybe personal gain, or trying to influence them for the wrong reasons. And we live in a day today where influencers are a big thing. I mean, we've got, I'm going to look at it here in just a second, but social media, man, they got these people that make money just to be an influencer. They get free product just to be an influencer. I'll mention that again here in just a second. But ever since the beginning, we found people that were being influenced. These people were being influenced to do wrong. They were being persuaded. They were being pushed to do the wrong thing throughout this whole chapter. And I want to say today that there's influencers in our day. There always has been. There's always been influencers. I want to mention a few of those this morning. Number one, propaganda has always been an influence. Propaganda. You say, what is that? There's a lot of stuff that falls under the heading of propaganda. But music is one of those things that are an influence. People are influenced by music. All music has a spirit. All of it does. It's just, is it the spirit of God or is it the spirit of man? Or the spirit of the Antichrist? There's different spirits. But all music is an influencer. There's people that when they're having a hard day, a bad day, they might go put on a certain kind of music to help them, to help influence them. Whenever you look into the lives of every one of those young men that went in and shot up schools and shot up places, every single one of them, it was found out that they were listening to certain types of music that influenced them. There's people that have made major decisions based off of a song. They've decided to leave their spouse based off a song. They've decided to make other decisions based off a song. That is an influence. Music, it is so important. What you listen to as a child of God, it will influence you spiritually. You cannot take in the world's music day after day after day and it not affect you. It will influence your spirit. Amen. Country music influences people to want to take a gun out and end things. Amen. Play country music backwards, you get your dog back and your car back and your wife back. That's depressing music. Amen. Some people can't laugh because they love country music. Music is an influence. It influences you. Amen? You don't believe me? Pull up at a gas station and have an old song come on and somebody's over there tapping their foot and they're singing. And it was a song that was written 40 years ago. Amen? I was with a preacher just the other day. I won't tell you his name. But we were sitting in a restaurant and this song came on. He's an older man. He's up in his 70s. And we're sitting there and this song came on and he just starts singing it. And me and another brother were sitting there and we looked at him and he goes, "Oh man, I'm sorry." He's like, "I haven't heard that song in 40 years. Amen? But he still knew every word. You say, what is that? It has an influence. And we preach against anything that doesn't magnify Christ in music. Why? Because it has an influence. We don't want kids listening to certain music because it'll be stuck with them. Amen? And guess what? Just as the Holy Spirit of God will take the songs that magnify Christ and bless you with them and help you with them, the devil will take the other music and he will take it to discourage you. He'll take it. I'm telling you, there's people that have slit their wrists. They've killed themselves listening to wrong music. Why? It's an influence. Talk about influences that we have in our life. Music is an influence. Hollywood is an influence. You mean to tell me that every movie and show that's ever come out didn't have an agenda behind it? Everything that comes out of Hollywood and everything, every TV show that comes on has an agenda behind it. Amen? And most of it is a socialistic agenda. You go all the way back to Andy Griffith. Amen? You're not supposed to preach about Andy Griffith in an Independent Baptist Church. That's the only thing we're allowed to watch. Nobody on that show was married. Think about it. The only person on that show that was married was Otis, and he was the town drunk. He stayed in jail every night just to get away from her. I mean, he drank so much. Nobody else on that show was married. You say, what does that mean? That was a little subtle attack against the home. A little subtle attack against marriage, against the home. You got shows that come on like the Dick Van Dyke Show and I Love Lucy and all these things. And you say, man, all those were wholesome shows compared to today. They are. Lester Roloff preached against those shows. Man, I couldn't imagine if he was here today, the stuff that's on. He preached against television and all those things. And there, you know why he preached so heavily against those things? Because of the influence they had in people's lives. Great influence. People change their lifestyles based off of television shows. People change the way they dress. They'll change their style based off of Hollywood. What is that? That's influencers. They're influencing you. Everything that a preacher preaches against, amen, there's a reason behind it because they don't want it to influence you. Some people say, I'm not affected by those things. Amen. I don't listen to country music. I'm not affected by it at all. Amen? But there's other things that do affect me. You got to be careful for whatever that is. Yeah, there's influencers. Hollywood is an influencer. All the shows and movies. There's agendas behind every one of them. They used to be real subtle. Now they're just in your face. But it led up. They conditioned. It's called programming. What is your favorite program? Why do they call it that? Because it's programming you. It's programming your children. It's important what they watch. And there's things that you as parents can sit there and watch and it doesn't affect you at all. But them little eyes that are watching it, it affects them. When we watch a football game or something, we always turn down the commercials and tell the children they're not allowed to watch any commercials. Why? Because they're programming. And the devil could get in their little mind and place little seeds of thought based off of that programming. That might not affect Brother Bobby. It might not affect me. But these little eyes and these little ears, the devil's constantly working. You say, what are you getting at? Watch out for it. There's influencers. There's shows and TV things that you maybe feel like you have the liberty to watch as an adult, that you need to be careful what your kids listen and watch. Amen. And it might be safe to say if they can't watch it, you shouldn't either. Amen. I'm preaching to the choir, preaching to myself. Amen. Preach to everybody. We'll preach to everybody. But I'm telling you, there's influencers. We got to be careful for those. The news media is an influencer. I mean, they are just as much influencers as everybody else. They tell you what they want you to hear. There's people that are making life decisions every day based off of what they hear on the news. Whatever Fox News says is gospel. There's people that do that. Am I right? You know people. You work with people. That is the gospel. Whatever Fox News said is the answer to everything in their life. That's a great influence. Donald Trump was a great influencer. And I appreciate him. I voted for him and I'll vote for him again. But whatever he said, some people said, that's the gospel. That's the truth. That's the good news. We're going to run with that. And I'm trying to tell you, better be careful on who your influence is. Yeah. Nothing wrong with being informed. But there's people that are making life decisions for their family and for themselves based off the influences that are outside of the Word of God. I hope this is okay because this is what God gave me for this morning. Social media. I saved the best for last. Influence. There's people that are there every day, what they dress, what they eat, everything they do is influenced by social media. Ooh, I want to try that. We're going to make that tonight. Ooh, I want to wear that. There's people that are paid and people that dress up a certain way or they wear certain clothing to try to get other people to buy it. They're called influencers. That's what they do. But I tell you what, there's a lot of damaging things being done on social media when it comes to influence. You know there's idiots walking on crates? You know the little black crates? They're stacking them up, and they're stacking them up high, and they go back down, and they're trying to walk on them like stairs and back down the other side. There's people hurting themselves severely. Years ago, there was people eating Tide Pods. Why? Because of an influence of social media. I strongly preach against children having a cell phone. And the reason is because of the great influence. Because of the great desire to want to be liked. The great desire to want to be accepted. And when you put that device in their hand and you put them on social media and they see other people on there, they're influenced every time. Most adults can't handle it. Why would you think a kid can handle it? I preached this in a church the other day, and they got mad at me because all the pastor's kids had phones. I didn't know they had phones, and I would preach it again over again. A matter of fact, I told Brother Bobby he was stupid for giving a kid a phone. He was there that night. Oh, y'all are looking at me funny. You weren't there. But I was preaching on cell phones, and I said, I'm a pastor. I preach pastoral. I said, I'm not preaching this to your church. I'm going to preach it to Brother Bobby. He said, Brother Bobby, you're stupid if you give a kid a phone. And I said, okay, now I'm back to preaching to the church. Well, I didn't know it. Little girl went home and said, Daddy, that pastor called you stupid. And he goes, well, people have different convictions than we do. Amen. I'll preach it over and over and over again. If you give a child uninterrupted, unsheltered access to the internet, you're an idiot. There's a little girl of a pastor friend of mine. She grew up in church. She sang in this church. She sang in this church this last May during camp meeting, and God moved on the service. She turned 18. She left. She went and ran off with a boy and got married. Her dad went to her and said, what did I do wrong? And she said, Dad, when I was 12 years old, you put a cell phone in my hand, and I saw things I can never unsee. She said, I went places on that phone I can never come back from. And then she said, I don't want to come back from it either. That's what she said. He goes, what did I do wrong? I raised you in church. You were in Sunday school. You sang. You helped teach Sunday school as you got older. What did I do wrong? And she had enough honesty about her to say, when I was 12, you gave me a cell phone. That's what she told him. And I wish that parents would get a hold of that. You can't do that. Amen. And I preach strong against it because I've seen the damage it's done. I know of another family right now, not in our church, right now. The woman got hooked on pornography on her phone, destroyed the marriage. That's an influence that you have to watch out for and be careful for. And again, I'll say this again. Just because you can handle it, parent, you better be careful what your kids hear and see. The devil can work on them in a totally different way than they do you. You got to be careful. Social media influence. I could go on and on about that one because it's a big deal. I put on here plants. You say plants? Yeah, plants. Go with me to Colorado, and I'll show you the influence of a plant. And it's sweeping the country. And I might as well start preaching on it now because it's coming to a town near you. Marijuana. It's already being introduced in Alabama by this thing called CBD. Now listen, I got to clarify this. I know some people have problems and they have to have certain medicines. I get that. Amen? But do you know how many people today are God's people? They're saved. They're going to heaven. They're just as saved as you and I are, Miss Beth. Just as saved as we are. But they're living a lifestyle that's not pleasing to God. They're not in church. They're living a lifestyle that's not pleasing to God. And the only way they can cope with their life is by taking something. And this CBD thing's a big deal now. There's people that take it. It is altering. It's mind-altering. So that, now, there's people that have cancer. There's people that have chronic problems. And they say the doctor prescribed it, told them to take it. Praise God, do whatever you're supposed to do. But there's a lot of people that are influenced by it, that, not for those reasons. There's people, I read an article the other day, or an article of someone that saved. They say they're saved. And they said that, for the first time in their life, they feel good about themselves because of taking CBD. For the first time in your life? Man, I remember how good I felt the day I got saved. Man, I remember how good I felt that. But you know what? If you want to live a lifestyle that's not pleasing to God, you're not going to have the peace of God. You're not going to have the joy of salvation. And you're going to have to take something to get that. It's an influencer. And just because it's not legal in Alabama for marijuana doesn't mean that people don't do it every day. I'm an electrician by trade. I worked with people that did it on a regular basis. One of the first job sites I was on as a young man, they said, we're having a safety talk. A safety talk? Okay. And they would say, you keep working on this, we're going to go have a safety talk. And they would leave, and I was just young and dumb. So I just kept working. Well, one day I was like, hey, don't I need to be a part of a safety talk? So I went out there, and that safety talk was everybody passing the joint around. I said, whoa, what have I walked into? I wish I never would have seen this. Amen. Some of y'all are laughing and smiling because you've probably seen it. Or participated in the safety talk. I don't know. influencing them, though. They say we have to have it. It calms us down. Amen? I'm just talking about influences this morning. Plants. Politicians. I'm going to run out of time. Politicians are influencers. They're trying to push an agenda. One way or the other, they're trying to push their agenda. Amen? The Pope. The Pope is an influencer. He got up the other day and put out a commercial with a bunch of the Cardinals. Amen? And it was not the baseball team. Got up there and put out a commercial and said, everybody take the vaccine. You know how many Catholics flooded to go get a vaccine because the Pope told them to? I mean, flooded. Why? He's an influencer. He's the vicar of Christ. That's what they teach. They believe that he is the vicar of Christ on earth, and whatever he says is scripture. Religion is a great influencer. Peers, a peer can be an influencer. How many times have you gone to go do something with a friend, and because they did it, you wanted to do it? Amen? Your friend builds a fire rack, you want to build one. That's what happened to me and Brother Steve. I was like, man, I like that. I want to build one. Amen? A peer can be... And listen, not all these influences I'm going to talk about are bad. I'm just trying to get you to see that we are influenced every day of our life. And you better watch out what you allow to influence you. You better watch out what influences your family. You better watch out what influences your marriage. What causes you to make a decision based off of somebody else. A peer can be an influence. That's why it's important to have good friends. That's why it's important to be a part of a good Bible-believing Baptist church. Iron sharpeneth iron. There's peers that will push each other and influence each other in the wrong direction. Some of y'all remember back to when you were younger, maybe the first time you did something you shouldn't do. And it was a friend that pressured you, that influenced you to try it. Amen? And then, hopefully not, but sadly, maybe you influenced somebody else to do something they weren't supposed to do. Amen? Peers. Parents are influencers. Whether you like it or not, you're an influencer. You either influence for good or you influence for bad. Amen? We've had kids in Sunday school classes of some of the churches we've been a part of that will come in, and they'll be singing a song. I remember Miss Sarah was teaching Sunday school over at the church, the last church we were at, and she's sitting there teaching Sunday school, and one of the kids started singing a song. And it was a country music song. Just reared back and just sang most of the whole song. And she's like, well, amen. So what are you getting at? They were influenced by that. And the parent found out about it. They were embarrassed. But hey, kids tell the truth. Amen. Kids will reveal what's going on in your home. Why? They're influenced by everything that's said and done. Amen. Parents are influencers. Would to God we have some parents that influence their kids to read their Bible and influence their kids to be excited about church and influence their kids to sing for the glory of God and influence their kids to live for God, not to be entertained by the world. Not to be entertained by the world, know every new dance move and every new craze and every new fad that's going on out of Hollywood. Parents are influencers. One of the reasons I love this Bible and I was exposed to this Bible and fell in love with this Bible was because of my dad. He was an influence in my life. Amen. He influenced me in a lot of ways. Maybe some of them all weren't good. Amen. I'm just joking. I won't tell you what those are. One of them is calling people idiots. No. But he influenced me to fall in love with this book. And I'm thankful for that. And you know, one day, Steve, it was the God of my dad for years. But because of his influence, one day he became my God. It wasn't just my dad's God. Now he was my God. But I was influenced that way. These parents that are raising kids today that says, I'm going to let them decide what sex they are when they get older. Is it a boy or a girl? We're going to let them decide when they get older. You need to be in an insane asylum. Locked up and throw the key away. No business having kids. God gave you children to raise them for His glory and His honor. Why would you let them make a decision like that? It's either one way or the other. Amen? If you're confused about it, go to the hardware store and ask for some PVC fittings. You want male or female? I want other. You want what? Other. Amen? It's not that difficult. But parents today are allowing their kids. We're going to let, a man might say, well, I'm Baptist, and the wife say, well, I'm Methodist or I'm Catholic. So I don't know how in the world that works out. They say, well, what church are you going to go to? Where are you going to raise your kid? We're going to wait till they get older and let them decide. You're an influencer. And there's nothing wrong with influencing them to serve God and do right. They don't know right. They don't want to get up every day and read their Bible. Neither do you. But if you've walked with God long enough, you've learned to love it. And you got to make yourself do it. And sometimes you have to make them. Have you read your Bible today? And then one day, maybe the Holy Spirit of God will save them at a young age, and then they'll fall in love with God and fall in love with that book because you influenced them to. Parents are influencers. Be careful what you say around them. Be careful what you listen to around them. Be careful what environment you put them in. It will affect them. You might not think it does, but it does. It will affect them. I told this story. I got to finish. I told this story several months ago. It might have even been a year or two ago. The kids were getting these little bitty tiny dolls. They're called Hatchimals, I believe. Hatchimals. And the kids were getting those in Sunday school class, and the teacher didn't know this. But on those little Hatchimals, they had a tattoo on their face. They had a tattoo on the side of their face. And one day we get home, this was a couple years ago, Emma's six now, she's probably four then, and she came home and said, Daddy, I want one of those, I forget what she called them, I want one of those face pictures. I said, what are you talking about? She said, I want one of those. I said, what are you talking about, Emma? And she went and got it and showed it to me, and it was a tattoo that was on the eye, it was like a tribal tattoo on the side of this Hatchimal. She goes, I want one of these. Amen. Something very subtle that she had got at Sunday school at White Oak Independent Baptist Church. The teacher felt horrible about it. She got rid of them. She didn't know. Amen. But what are you saying? I'm talking about how the devil works in the mind of a four-year-old to say, hey, wouldn't you like to have one of those? And parents, you let your kids watch things and you let them be around certain environments. And the devil works on their mind and says, hey, wouldn't you like that? Wouldn't you like to have one of those? Amen. Your influencers, parents. Preachers are influencers. Some for good, some for bad. I've not even got to the message yet. I'm going to get to it in just a second and we'll be done. Preachers are influencers. They should influence people to live right and do right for God. Preach the book. I'm not going to spend time on these. Pastors are influencers. I'll go back to the preachers for just a second. We got preachers in our church, man. They preached the other day, did a great job. You're an influencer. When you get behind this pulpit and preach, you better be right with God, prayed up. You expect me to be when I get up, don't you? And you ought to be prayed up. You ought to be studied up. You ought to be full of the Holy Spirit of God. Be right with Him. If I ever ask you to preach and you're not right with God, just come tell me. I won't think nothing of it. Amen? Just come tell me. Say, hey, I don't need to preach this morning. And I'll say, thank you for being honest, because I don't want you getting up here behind the pulpit. You're an influencer. You got to be careful. Pastors, and the last thing, and the most important thing, is the pages of God's Word is an influencer. Oh, man, I love my Bible. You ought to be in your Bible every day. It's an influencer. Amen. You are an influencer, whether you like it or not. The question this morning is, whom and what are you influencing? What are you influenced by? And I hope this morning that we all take inventory of our life every day and find out what's influencing us and who's influencing us. Look at verse number 20. You say, how am I to be a good influencer? I'm just going to read these verses and we'll be done. Look what Jude encourages these believers here to do. In verse number 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. If you're going to be a good influencer, you're going to have to get in this book. We encourage people to read Proverbs every day. Every day read a proverb. Why? I believe a lost man can read the book of Proverbs every day and be a better person. They'll be a better person. They'll die and go to hell, but they'll be a better person. You must read this book every day. You've got to build yourself up in this book. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. If you're going to build yourself up in your faith, you're going to do it with this book and nothing else. You'll do it through the preaching of the book. You'll do it through the reading of the book, the listening to the book. It's all going to be the book. It's going to build you up. If you want to be a good influencer, you've got to get in the book. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith. Number two, praying in the Holy Ghost. It's so simple, is it not? Reg, we knew all these things. But you want to be a good influencer, make sure you're practicing these things. Don't just be hearers, be doers. You need to get in this book. You need to pray. You need to pray every day. If you've got children, even if you don't have children, but especially if you have children, you need to be praying every day. God, give you wisdom to be a good influence in their life. Give you wisdom on how to raise them. Give you wisdom when to say no. You say, well, giving them that won't hurt them. Sometimes God will tell you don't do it. Tell them no. And there might be a reason you don't understand, but you need to obey the Holy Spirit. But if you're not in this book and you're not praying, then you won't have that wisdom and discernment. There's a lot of parents today have zero discernment. A lot of Christians that don't have any discernment on decisions that they make every day. And as a pastor and other spiritual men and women, you can look at a family and say, they're about to make a train wreck. But they don't see it. But you do. Some of y'all see your kids, you see different things, you say, hey, they're about to make a mess. Amen? That's discernment. They don't see those things. So what you need to be a good influence to them. Number 21, keeping yourself in the love of God. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Number three, again, spiritual application here. You need to get in the book, you need to pray, and that you need the mercy and grace of God. And none of us are perfect. We need God's grace and mercy. There's a lot of times, Brother Stephen, I probably haven't been the greatest influence, but thankfully God stepped in and fixed it. And we need that, amen? We need to admit that we're not perfect and there's things that we can't do right. And we need the mercy and grace of God. Look what the Bible says here in verse number 22. And some, having compassion, making a difference. If you're going to be an influence, you're going to have compassion. And you're going to have to want God to do something in the life of who you're trying to influence. There's some people, again, I keep going back to kids and stuff because that was a great influence, but even people we work with. Brother Bobby, I could never reach somebody if they didn't know that I cared for them. And some having compassion. There might be some people you come across and you just love them and you got compassion. That doesn't mean you love their sin. It doesn't mean you participate in their sin, but they know you care about them. And they know there's something different about you and you can be an influence in their life. Some having compassion, making a difference. Then there's going to be some people where no matter how much compassion you have, you're not going to be an influence to them in that way. So the Bible tells us here in verse 23, and others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Say, what does that mean? It means there's some people that you just have to shoot straight with. You tried to love them. You tried to be their friend. You tried to be compassionate. Some of you might even have kids or family that you've tried that route and they're just not going to get right. They're not going to get saved. But if you want to be an influence, sometimes you just have to shoot real with them. Sometimes you got to go have a conversation with them in a hospital bed and just shoot straight with them. Say, I know you don't like me. You might even hate me. But let me tell you how good God is and that He can help you. And some people, you just got to shoot straight with them, pulling them out of the fire. Amen. Being an influencer. Are you an influence to anybody this morning? I just showed you where everybody, this touches every person in this room in one way, shape, or form. You might be a grandparent. You're an influence to those grandkids. Some of you, you might be the only good influence in that kid's life. So you better be the right one. Why do we need to do this? Why do we need to be an influence? Well, I'm glad you asked. Look at verse number 25. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Why should we do it? It's all for His glory. It's all, we want to see people get saved. We want to see people get help. But at the end of the day, it's for His glory. He's worthy. Somebody was an influence on you, the reason you're sitting here today. Somebody was an influence on me, the reason why I'm standing up here today. Amen? And looking back on my life, there's times I hope I've influenced people to help them. But I know there's times I influence people not to do right. Amen? I remember times growing up with my brothers and sisters. I wasn't always the best example, influencing them for the wrong things. And I'm sorry for that. Amen? You say, I haven't been the greatest. Get up today, going forward, and say, Lord, help me to be an influencer for right. Amen? Don't strive to be a social media influencer. Don't make that your life. Amen? Be an influencer for Christ. Amen. All right, let's all stand. I'm not even going to give an invitation this morning. If God spoke to your heart, do something with it. This is one of those messages that it's either yes or no. Amen. But if God did deal with you about something, just talk to Him. Get it right with Him. And be a good influence, man. These days coming are going to get hard and they're going to get rough. And there's going to have to be some children of God that stand up and do right and are a good influence. People are going to need to look to somebody. You might be the only Bible some people ever read. And if you're not reading your Bible, then they're reading the wrong thing. Amen. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Steve, would you dismiss us in a word of prayer?